Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. So much is going on. I told you last week that we had interviewed with Time Magazine, the LA Times, and the Rocky Mountain News. And thankfully, all three media outlets came out with articles. The last was the Rocky Mountain News on Saturday with a full page, almost a full page article, No Holds Barred Abortion Battle. And that's on page 6, and it's teased on the front cover with this: Colorado amendment splits anti-abortion supporters. So, of course, there's a disagreement about whether or not we should regulate child killing. The groups that advocate that we regulate child killing include Planned Parenthood, National Right to Life, NARAL, and so on. The Roe v. Wade Supreme Court, they all said that we should regulate child killing. And, yeah, even Planned Parenthood wants to regulate child killing. They don't advocate back alley abortions, for example. So there are quite a few child killing regulators, including National Right to Life, Jay Sekulow, and so on. And then there is the personhood wing of the pro-life movement. And so this article will get into that. We'll discuss that. Then this out of the Miami Herald, great article out today about hurricane predictions. And they point out for the last 2 years, the hurricane forecasters have a lot of explaining to do because they're getting it, well, pretty much completely wrong. And what that leads to, of course, is this. You know, it's real hard for the weathermen to predict the weather when they're going out 2, 3, 4 days. In fact, it was the funniest thing. I lived in Phoenix for a while going to Arizona State University, and I saw the weatherman being interviewed. That doesn't happen often. And the host asked him, is it difficult to predict the weather in Phoenix? And you could tell he just wanted to give a big smirk. And difficult, what do you say? It's going to be hot and sunny. For decades, that was it. But one guy moved. He got fired, and then he moved out of state. And a friend asked him, so why did you move? He said, the weather didn't agree with me. But these hurricane forecasters, they can't forecast something as significant, as globally significant as the strength of a hurricane season 1 and 2 years in advance. They can't do that. And the question is raised by the Miami Herald, why do they bother? Given the errors of hurricane predictions, these undermine faith in the entire hurricane warning system. So are these full season forecasts doing more harm than good? So if they get that wrong, what is your confidence level with their ability to predict the temperature in 10 years from now, in 30 years from now, in 70 years from now? You have a high confidence in that ability to do that accurately? I don't. I think the whole global warming hype, well, we know it's hype, and they've changed it from global warming to half of those activists say climate change because they're trying to protect themselves so they can spin it in the future when it doesn't get warmer. When it doesn't get warmer, that's okay. We're not warning people about global warming. It's just climate change. And it was getting warmer, now it cooled off. That's climate change, see? And then it's getting cooler, and then it's warming up. Okay, so the climate has done nothing but change over the last 6,000 years. So, okay, now what else? Tom Tancredo. Tom Tancredo is running for president. And we go through the Republicans who are running and point out whether or not they are violating God's enduring command, do not murder. And I want to make a comment about Tom Tancredo. We have a transcript from a debate on October 9th, and he was a hero in his answer to this question put to him by Chris Matthews. Chris Matthews from MSNBC. And he was asked, in fact, the question went through the Republican candidates in the primary. They tend to leave out Alan Keyes. That's a tragedy that was done, what was it, 8 years ago? And he's been in a couple of the debates, but he's been left out of a number of the debates. He's on the ballot in seven states so far that have primaries. He's a hero. And as some of these, some of the phony pro-life candidates get knocked out by true pro-life leaders exposing their hypocrisy, then I think other pro-life candidates will get more attention. But Tom Tancredo answered so wonderfully on October 9th. This was in Dearborn, Michigan. And he was asked by Chris Matthews. He said, let me try that question to a couple of the gentlemen over here on the right. Mr. Tancredo, would you pledge now to support the nominee of your party? And you understand what that means, right? The question is, regardless of who the nominee is, will you put your allegiance, your loyalty to the Republican Party above any principles and make a commitment that you will pledge to support the nominee of your party? And that nominee could be somebody pro-choice, like Fred Thompson or Rudy Giuliani or Mitt Romney, right? Could be somebody like that, somebody pro-choice. So Tom Tancredo was asked by Chris Matthews, Mr. Tancredo, would you pledge now to support the nominee of your party? That is, regardless of who it is, even if it's a pro-abort like Mitt Romney or Rudy Giuliani or Fred Thompson. So Tom Tancredo answered, and he said this, I don't know how many times I've said that I am absolutely tired, sick and tired of being forced to go to the polls and say I'm going to make this choice between the lesser of two evils. I really don't intend to do that again. I am hoping, of course, that whoever we nominate will be the principled flag carrier for the Republican Party. But if that is not the case, no, then I will not support him. No, that was his answer, no. That's pretty cool. Tom Tancredo, thank you for that principled answer to that question. And then Chris Matthews asked Senator Brownback. He said, Senator Brownback, same question. Would you support the nominee before you know who it is? So Tom Tancredo just gave a principled answer, and Senator Brownback was running as the strongest pro-lifer, which is not true. He does support child-killing regulations, and for that we oppose him. But we pray that Sam Brownback, like so many of our pro-life politicians, they should know better, and they should have the Christian moral foundation to be able to correct the secular humanist pro-life movement. But they don't. They don't. They are followers. They're not leaders. In the most significant moral issues of our day, our leaders are followers. So, but I believe that many of these politicians, pro-life politicians, want to do what's right. They simply don't know. They don't know. It's their fault they don't know. And they are weak. Spiritually, morally, they're weak because they don't know. But if they had clear leadership, if they had clear leadership nationally in the pro-life movement, explaining that we never compromise on God's enduring command, do not murder, I believe people like Sam Brownback would be thankful for clear leadership, a clarion call, crystal clear. You don't regulate the killing of innocent children. You don't support leaders who say they advocate killing innocent children. You just don't do it. But what we have had is murky, compromised, moral relativistic leadership for decades now. Situational ethics, secular humanism, willingness to compromise and to sell out the personhood of the unborn. The right to life is inalienable. That means it's not transferable. That means not even the Republicans get to sell it out for some political gain, for some supposed political gain. So Chris Matthews said, Senator Brownback, same question. Would you support the nominee before you know who it is? And that question means, even if it is a pro-abortion candidate. You know, when it comes time for, let's say, a Supreme Court justice to step down, and then the nomination process goes into full swing, and the president nominates a candidate, and then the U.S. Senate has their confirmation hearings. Do you know what the issues are and the intensity? It just, if you're someone who follows the news and current events, it becomes riveting. And do you know what the issues are that causes everyone to stop everything they were doing and focus for a few weeks on the nominee to the Supreme Court? You know what the top two issues are? Abortion and homosexuality. Those are the top two issues. Of course they're the top two issues. You know, it's hard to find an atheist in a foxhole. Why is that? Because the number one issue in life is, what is your relationship to your creator, your maker? And when you die, that's, you're coming awfully close. When you think you are about to die, you're coming real close to meeting your maker. You're coming really close to the afterlife. And at that point, that's what people are focusing on, God. And their life is flashing before them because they realize that they're going to stand before God on Judgment Day, the great white throne judgment, if it's an unbeliever, and their life will flash before them. And Jesus Christ said that the secrets that were whispered in the dark will be shouted from the housetops. And for every idle word and every idle deed, there will be judgment. So in a foxhole, when the shells are coming down and people are dying around you, it's hard to find an atheist. And the same thing is true at moments of extreme importance, something like a for-life appointment to the U.S. Supreme Court. At those moments, when there is so much at stake, the whole nation focuses in, and there are two overriding issues: killing unborn children and whether or not men should have sex with one another. Those are the two issues. Bob Inyart Live has been on the air for 16 years, 5 days a week. We started right here on AM 670 KLTT. It's the most powerful Christian radio station in the country, 50,000 watts. And during those 16 years, we did start on this station. We went to other radio stations, went to TV, Channel 53, and here in Colorado, full power, 5 million watt TV station and cable. And then we were uplinked to satellite on 3 satellite stations. Actually, we were broadcast 5 times a night on satellite nationwide from the East Coast to Hawaii. And we eventually were picked up by 3 different networks: LaCie Broadcasting, Cornerstone TV out of Pittsburgh — LaCie's out of South Bend, Indiana, right next to Notre Dame — and then America's Voice out of Washington, D.C., Paul Weyrich's TV network. And so Bob Inyart Live was on 5 nights a week for an hour in 80 markets. And it was a significant time. But in all these years, there have been 2 issues that we have addressed with more intensity and focus than most. Now, since this past year, with our battle with Focus on the Family, becoming moral relativist, and advocating child killing regulations, the number one issue we've been fighting is child killing. That's the number one issue. And God said, do not murder. That that made the Lord's top 10. That's his top 10. In his top 10 issues, do not murder, that's there. And do not commit adultery, that's there also. Which means, by the way, sex is permissible by the authority granted to us from God between a man and a woman who are married. So, and sexual immorality, that is sex outside of that permissible boundary, is destructive to the individuals, to society. It's destructive to the health of society, sexually transmitted diseases. It's destructive to the children who are conceived without a lifelong commitment of a mother and father who have made this commitment to raise children throughout their entire lives until death do us part. So there are all kinds of reasons why God included do not commit adultery in the realm of the authority that government has to enforce laws, so that prostitution should be against the law, and pornography should be against the law, and homosexuality should be recriminalized, and fornication should be against the law. In this country, just go back 40 years, if you try to check into a hotel room with your girlfriend, the hotel manager would get angry and say, no, you're not allowed to check in here. Are you married? And if they doubt that this couple is married, they would want to see ID and see a marriage license. And you go back 20, 30 years before that, if someone had an affair with a married woman, the husband would call the police. He'd call the police. Now, if you have a married couple and a neighbor is trying to seduce the wife and the husband calls the police, first of all, they'll laugh at him. Second of all, they'll say, you know what? We're going to arrest you for harassment if you bug your neighbor. He has every right to try to seduce your wife, so just shut up about it. So that's how far we have fallen. But to God, God has these, you know, top 10 issues. And one of them is do not steal. Here at Bob and Yurt Live, economics, taxation, not just economics from a governmental perspective, but economics generally has been a major issue that we've dealt with over the years. And the economy, who gets what, when, where, how, and why, economics, the Bible teaches us how to make the economy roar. And the economy, you want the economy to do well. The Bible teaches us to serve one another. And when you serve one another, you might go to work and you might be assembling cell phones. You might put printed circuit boards inside of cell phones. And you might really be rather bored at doing that. You might not really enjoy it. But you do it because there are people who've asked you, hey, would you do this for us? If you do, we'll pay you. So you go to work and you're there and you serve your employer. And your employer sells these to retailers, and your employer serves their retailers. And you come into a store, and there are people there stocking shelves and helping you, and they're serving you. And you'd like one of those cell phones so you could take pictures and video clips and read your text messages and get your email right over your phone. And so you give them some money, they give you that phone. And we serve one another. And that is what makes the economy go, when we serve one another. So these issues that God prioritizes, these are the issues of importance for us today, for men throughout history. Let's say you got a kid who wants to be a goalie on his ice hockey team. And he's 14 years old. And his parents say, well, do you know the equipment to be a goalie will cost about $600? We don't have that kind of money. We have seven boys. You want to be a goalie? It's going to cost $600. He says, yeah, but I really want to do it. I'm so good at it, and I think it's my best shot. All right, well, if you want to be a goalie, we'll pay a quarter of the cost of your equipment, you got to pay 75%. He says, yeah, but I don't have any money. Oh, well, okay, mom, dad, I'll do it. I'll start working and make some money. And so he goes around the neighborhood and he goes to Mrs. Smith, two doors up the street, and he says, Mrs. Smith, I'd love to paint your garage. I want to scrape and paint your garage. What would you pay me for that? And she says, well, are you any good? And he says, yeah, I'm a homeschool kid and I'm reliable and I painted my mother and father's bedroom. I painted our backyard shed. And she says, all right, I'll give you a shot. And she says, you do a good job, I'll give you $200. So he paints her garage. And then he goes and he rakes up the leaves for Mr. Jackson. And he washes the cars and he straightens up the garage in a basement for a widow down the street. She pays him $60. He offers to clean the attic for another neighbor. He cuts the lawn. And before you know it, the whole little neighborhood, the whole cul-de-sac area, it's all spruced up. It's all looking better. Why is it looking better? Well, because this kid was serving others. That's what makes the economy go. We serve one another. We serve one another. That's love, right? Jesus Christ, our Creator, came down and he served mankind. In fact, he washed the feet of his disciples. Talk about humility and willingness to serve. And that's what makes God great, by the way. That's what makes him great. And that's how he had his victory over the enemy. Not really. We could say he had his victory because of all his power and knowledge and control and all that. But really, when you go to the book of Revelation, you see the banner of the victor. What is the banner? The banner is this. He is a lamb as though it were slain. That is the victory that God won over his enemies and salvation for those who trust in Jesus Christ. So, service. So these are the big issues to God. Oh, and do not commit perjury. Don't bear false witness against your neighbor. So, and honor your mother, honor your father and your mother. If mom falls, grandma falls, she breaks her hip, that doesn't mean she gets a life sentence to be put in a nursing home. Well, it's hard to care for her. It was hard to care for you. You know, it took her 18 years to raise you. She cared for you. And now our parents, they need some care. And we find reasons to institutionalize them. But that's okay. We put them in a nursing home, but we visit them every single day for the first 3 days. And then we go twice a week for a month. And then we go once a week for a few months. And then we go a couple times a month for half a year. And then we go most months, but especially on the holidays. But then we go on the bigger holidays. But then we were busy on a really big holiday. Then we don't go anymore. And then mom dies. And so she was hurt. And what did she get for it? She got a life sentence. Jesus said, honor your mother and your father. Honor them. And in the New Testament, people said, oh, I want to take care of my parents, but I got to give money to the ministry. And Jesus said, you hypocrite. You hypocrite. So these are the big issues. These are the big issues. And the issues that we address here at Bob Inert Live, the ministry of our church in Arvada, Denver Bible Church. These are the things that become the most important issues at moments of great import. And so there are many churches that don't even address these issues. They just don't address them. You got thousands of Christians who love God and they go to church and they don't get educated. They're not learning. They're not growing. People tell us they come to Denver Bible Church and they're in shock. Their jaw drops down halfway through the first service. And they're sort of stunned because it's like an overload, what their mind is absorbing out of God's word. And after 6 weeks, 8 weeks, they'll come and say, Pastor Bob, I don't quite know how this is possible, but I think I just learned more in the last 2 months than I've learned in 20 years of going to church, going to a fundamentalist Bible church. I think I just learned more. I think I did. Don't quite understand that, but been going to Sunday school all this time. So the important issues are clear. Jesus boiled down the whole law to two commands, love God and love your neighbor. So if your neighbors want to kill their kids and you sit idly by and you say, you know what, I'm not called to that ministry. I'm not led. I'm not feeling led. Well, you're feeling led all right, but it's the kind that's in your pants. You're feeling led in your pants. Imagine the priest who was on the road to Jericho and the criminals, murderers, they beat this guy, robbed him, and left him for dead. And the priest saw the victim, but he went by the other side of the street because he wasn't called to help this one who was left for dead. He wasn't called. In fact, he was a Samaritan. The one who helped was a Samaritan. He wasn't a Levite. He wasn't a priest. He was a Samaritan. And Jesus said in John chapter 4, he was talking to a Samaritan, and he said the Samaritans, they don't even know who God is. They don't even know God, the Samaritans. But what happened with that Samaritan? He intervened to save the life of this victim who was left for dead. And Jesus said, let me show you what love is. That's what love is. That's what love is. These two were strangers. The Samaritan, he didn't know the victim. The victim, he didn't know the Samaritan. But the Samaritan realized that there was an innocent life at stake, and he gave of himself. We have Christians saying, come on, what do you think you are? You think you're the Holy Spirit? You think you're going to tell me? I wasn't called to this ministry. God has called me to a music ministry, and if people are being killed, if children are being killed 2.5 miles from my home, 1 mile from my church, you know what? God has called me to be apathetic, to say a prayer occasionally, and to make sure I do nothing about it. And you know what, Bob? You know what, Leslie? You know what, Brian? You know what, Lolita? You know what, Jason? You know what? You make me feel uncomfortable. I don't like the fact that you're out there telling people we got to stop the killing of unborn kids. I don't like that because I'm not out there saying that. And just by you saying that, you're making me feel uncomfortable. I don't like it. I'd rather you shut up. Those 100 kids you guys saved at Planned Parenthood last year at 20th and Vine, I'd almost rather they be dead. Because you being there makes me feel uncomfortable. Hey, we're out of time. KGov.com and Maranatha. What a great school, Maranatha.